So for today, we're going to look at three characters from the Hebrew Scriptures, three patriarchs that show us a little bit about who they are and who God is and how we can follow and be the people that God called us to be. A glimpse from three patriarchs. Jewish rabbinical commentary is where I learned about this. And I love Jewish rabbinical commentary because the Jewish early Jewish rabbis, they would love to dialogue and not just accept things for the way they are and ask lots of questions. And so they looked at these three patriarchs and said, some of them are better than others. And you will see why now. So all three of these patriarchs were confronted with the idea of hospitality, who they are, who God is, and how they treat other people. And so the first patriarch we look at is Noah. Now, we know the story fairly well of Noah. In Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, God creates the earth, creates human beings, give them dominion over the earth to care for it, to serve it, and give human beings each other to be in relationship with, and then bless the Sabbath to experience the goodness of God and the loving kindness of God. So we have Genesis chapter 1 and 2, this beautiful picture of the creation of the world. And then by Genesis chapter 3 or things go bad very quickly. Sin happens, and Adam and Eve, the fall happens, and they're banished from this beautiful garden that God had set them in. And so from Genesis chapter 1 and 2, as we start with this beautiful loving kindness, by Genesis chapter 6, God says, I am going to destroy the earth and the people on it, for they have turned from my loving kindness. They are doing only evil in my sight. From Genesis chapter 1 and 2, very quickly to Genesis chapter 6, things go really bad. So then God comes to Noah. God says God's going to destroy the earth. And then we read in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the Lord saw that humanity had become thoroughly evil on the earth, and that every idea in their minds thought up was always completely evil. Still, the Lord regretted making human beings on the earth, and he was heartbroken. So the Lord says, I will wipe off the land the human race that I have created, from human beings to livestock, to the crawling things, to the birds in the skies, because I regret I ever made them. But as for Noah, the Lord approved of Noah. In his generation, Noah was a moral and exemplary man. He walked with God. God said to Noah, the end has come for all creatures since they have filled the earth with violence. I am now about to destroy them along with the earth, so make a wooden ark. I'm now bringing the floodwaters over the earth to destroy everything under the sky and that breathes, everything on the earth about to take its last breath. But I will set a covenant with you, Noah. You will go into the ark together with your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives. Noah did everything as God commanded him. So here we are confronted, and the rabbis have questions about Noah and Noah's actions about who God is. Noah, confronted with the evil that is in front of him and God calling him to protect them and to save him and his family, Noah obeys God, builds the ark, and leads his family into the ark to protect them. However, as these ancient rabbis comment on these three patriarchs we will study, they say that Noah is not so cool in their eyes. Why? Because when Noah is confronted with what God was going to do, he accepted the safety for him and his family, but he did nothing on behalf of the rest of the world. Everybody with me? Now, often we say that Noah preached for 120 days to warn people of this. However, in the Genesis narrative, that is not present there. That is something that is added in 2 Peter. And in fact, Jesus, when Jesus talks in the Gospel of Matthew, says to the disciples that the end of times will be like in the days of Noah. Matthew 24:39 states that Noah's contemporaries, and I quote, did not know about the flood until it came to them. So, interesting things going on in the New Testament, but if we look at only the Hebrew Scriptures, Noah accepts the safety for his family and does not speak up on behalf of the rest of the world. We're tracking? You can see why the ancient rabbis were not so happy with Noah. Good job, Noah, but what about the rest? In the Genesis narrative, as we're confronted with God's goodness, God's loving kindness, Noah did not confront God to be kinder, the God that he knew. Then we get to Abraham. So we have Noah accept God's protection for him and his family only. Then we get to Abraham, and the ancient rabbis, like, Abraham is better. He's better than Noah. So let's look at that. We know the story of Abraham, who was in a foreign land, and God called him, not because of his own righteousness or anything. God chose Abraham for a special assignment and purpose. And so God makes a covenant with Abraham that says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will lead you to a promised land where you can settle and build this nation that will be a witness to the other nations. And then in Genesis chapter 17, we see the story of Abraham and Sarah. And God says to Abraham and Sarah, at 100 years old, you will have a child. And they go like, wait, what? And Sarah laughs. We know that story. But right after that, we see that three men come and visit Abraham to have conversation with him. And we know that it is God that is in conversation with Abraham. And as they have this conversation about the covenant and how great this nation will become, God looks towards Sodom and says, I'm going to have a conversation with Abraham about the evil at Sodom. Genesis 18, the men got up from there and went over down to look down on Sodom. Abram was walking along with them and sent them off when the Lord said, will I keep from Abram what I'm about to do? Love this. Will we be in conversation or will we not? Abram will certainly become a great populous nation, and all the earth's nations will be blessed because of him. I formed a relationship with him so that he will oversee his children and his households after him, and they will keep to the Lord's path, being moral and just, so that the Lord can call for Abram everything that he would. Then the Lord said, the cries of injustice of Sodom and Gomorrah are countless, and their sin is very serious. I will go down now and examine the cries of injustice that have reached me. Have they really done all this? If not, I want to know. Of course, we have misconceptions about what the sins of Sodom are. We like to go the easy route. But Ezekiel tells us what the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was. Ezekiel 18 says, this is the sin of your sister Sodom. By the way, God calls Sodom, Israel's sister. They're siblings. This is the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were proud. They had plenty to eat and enjoyed prosperous ease, but they didn't help the poor and the needy. They became arrogant and did detestable things in my sight and turned away from them as soon as I saw it. What is the sin of Sodom? They were inhospitable. They didn't care for the needy or for the poor. They were acting not with loving kindness towards each other. We pick up the story in Genesis. The men turned away and walked towards Sodom, but Abram remained standing in front of the Lord. Abram approached and said, will you sweep away all the innocent with the guilty? What if there are 50 innocent people in the city, God? Will you really sweep it away and not save the place for the sake of the 50 innocent people? It's not like you to do this, killing the innocent with the guilty. It's okay if you kill the guilty, but killing the innocent with the guilty is if there were no difference. It's not like you. Will the judge of the earth not act justly? The Lord said, if I find 50 innocent people in the city of Sodom, I will save them. And the conversation keeps going. Abram says, since I've already decided to speak and have this dialogue, God, even though I'm just soil and ash, what if there were five fewer innocent people than 50? 45. Will you destroy the whole city over just them? The Lord said, if I find 45 people there, I will not destroy it. I guess we can skip a few verses because Noah does these math equations really well and go from 50 to 45 to 40 to what comes next? Yeah, there's a reason I became a pastor, not a mathematician. All right? And so he keeps on going. Don't be angry with me, Lord, but I just want to speak one more time. What if there are 10 people, God? Will you not destroy it because of those 10? And what does God say? When the Lord finished speaking, he said, yep, if there were 10 innocent people, I will not destroy the city. God left Abram, and Abram stayed there in that place. Noah, confronted with God's character of loving kindness, takes the protection for him and his family, but does not speak up on behalf of the other people. The ancient rabbis go, no. Abram goes a step further. He's a little bit better than Noah because he argues with God for the sake of the righteous, not for the sake of the unrighteous. But he will go to the next step and have a dialogue with God and argue, God, can you take care of at least the innocent people? And the interesting thing about Abram's math is he stopped at 10. Why did Abram not go down to 5, 4, 3, 1, or none? After all, God is loving kindness. But Abram stays with 10, and perhaps, I don't know, perhaps it is because his family, his nephew Lot, was in Sodom, and maybe they had a family of 10. I'm reading into this. But maybe he stopped at 10 to take care of his family. But so in the rabbinic tradition, Noah, not revered as much as Abram. Abram is revered more than Noah, but not as much as the next patriarch, Moses. So now you go from Noah, protect me and my family. Abram, protect me and my family and the innocent people. By the way, God probably turns and say there are no innocent people. But anyways, now we come to Moses. We know the story of Moses. People were enslaved in Egypt for hundreds of years. God calls Moses to lead them to free them and to lead them to the promised land. And Moses is in the desert with the people wandering. And they're not only wandering, they're also wondering, is this God good? Is this God kind? We don't have food. We don't have water. Where are the flesh pots of Egypt? We would rather have that, God. Why are we wandering around in circles and not finding the place? So they're wandering, and they're wondering, is God loving kindness? And so in the middle of this situation, Moses goes up to the mountain to meet with God, leaves the people down there. And as Moses is having conversation with God about the covenant and about what's next for the people, what happens downhill? The people are taking all their nose rings and earrings and their cufflinks and whatever it is, and they're taking the gold from that. They melt it down and they create a golden calf to which they bring their offerings and their worship. And as Moses is communing with God about the covenant and all these beautiful things, God sees what's happening, says, Moses, go down to those people. And so Moses goes down, sees what is happening, and is infuriated. But then Moses and God have a conversation. And this is how the conversation goes. The Lord said to Moses, Exodus 32, I've been watching these people. I've seen how stubborn they are. Now leave me alone. Let my fury burn and devour them. Then I will make you into a great nation. Sounds like a plan, yeah? But Moses pleaded with the Lord his God, Lord, why does your fury burn against your own people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and amazing force? They're your kids, not mine. Why should the Egyptians say he had an evil plan to take his people out and kill them in the mountain and so wipe them off the earth? Calm down your fierce anger, God. Change your mind about what your terrible thing that you're going to be doing to your own people. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, your servants, whom you yourself promised, I will make great descendants, as many as the stars in the skies, and I will promise give you descendants, the whole land, the possession for all this time. Then the Lord changed God's mind about the terrible things that God said God would do to God's people. Noah, I'm chill with my family, God, thanks. Abraham, my family and maybe 10 other people like me, I think. But Moses steps in and advocates on behalf of the people who have turned their backs on God's loving kindness. Moses takes things even a step further. As we see here in Exodus 32, the next day, Moses probably did not have a good night's of rest. The next day, Moses said to the people, you've committed terrible sin, so now we'll go up to the Lord. Maybe I can arrange reconciliation on account of your sin. So Moses went back to the Lord and said, oh, what terrible sin these people have committed. They made for themselves gods of gold, but now please forgive their sins. And this is the next step further. If you cannot do them, then wipe me from out of the scroll that you have written. God, take me, not the people. Sounds like a Jesus thing to do. Moses intercedes on behalf of the not innocent, wicked, evil, bad people. And Moses says, God, you are a loving kindness kind of God. Care for your people according to your character. And if you cannot, wipe me out in their stead. The rabbis go, Noah? Nah. Abraham? Yeah. Moses? You got it, brother. Moses is willing to sacrifice his own life for the sake of these unloving kindness people. He's in dialogue with God and challenges God with God's own goodness. So here we have three approaches to loving kindness. We are talking about hospitality as a church, as a people. How do we treat the others, the people around us? And as Pastor Ben so beautifully prayed, in our neighborhoods and in our country, there are three approaches. We can take care of the insiders, we can take care of those who are maybe more like us, or we can be disruptors and speak up on behalf of those who don't even know about God's loving kindness, maybe. Moses is a disruptor. And for Moses, he believes that God's goodness, that God's hospitality is expansive, that reaches the ends of the earth, and everyone is included in it. And he challenges his own God with God's very goodness that God seems to have forgotten. So maybe in the way when we think about God's loving kindness and who we are, who God is, who we are, and how we act in the world, there's faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is? Maybe we can say there's Noah, Abraham, and Moses, and the greatest of these is God. It's not the game we want to play, but Abraham and Noah is not as revered as Moses, because Moses was selfless when confronted with God's loving kindness. So we come full circle to the scripture that we read this morning. Remember, do we have to remind God to remember? It seems like it. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from the beginning of time. So remember them, Lord. Then it turns inward. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. So you remember, do not remember for me. And then the psalmist brings both together in one final sentence. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake. Not even necessarily mine. If God's reputation is on the line about what it means to be hospitable, Moses says, challenge God to be the God God has covenanted and promised to be. One last thing. Noah made me think about this as we think about how these three patriarchs acted. Noah was one person in the midst of many. There's no mention in the Genesis narrative that he had a relationship with the people around him. So Noah, one person in the midst of many. And then Abraham, he lived close to Sodom and Gomorrah, but he was not part of the city. He was removed from it. He and his family were staying outside of the city. So maybe that impacted how he thought about things. But Moses was with the people and chose to be with them. And maybe that makes the difference from moving to protecting only my family or only the innocent to speaking up on behalf of everyone because he situated him in and with the people. In the end, Mr. Rogers sums it up best. There are three ultimate ways to success. The first is to, the second is to, and the third is to be kind. God is loving kindness. Will we choose loving kindness like Moses, selfless instead of selfish, bringing the hospitality of God that includes and embraces everyone into community, into meaning, into transformation, into life, love, into chesed, loving kindness. May we be Moses. Amen.